Welcome everyone to this week's edition, a special Frozen Four edition of Inside BU Hockey. Inside BU Hockey, presented by Wicked Bagel, Bake Fresh, Bake Daily, with locations in Lexington, Woburn, and Watertown. Order online at wickedbagel.com. And as always, our time with Boston University head coach Jay Pandolfo is sponsored by CNR Search. CNR Search, an executive search firm specializing within the life science and biotech industries. And with that, we bring in Boston University head coach Jay Pandolfo. A perfect 7-for-7 in Frozen Fours has been well documented. 10-0 in regional play. Three as a head coach the last 3 years. Three in a row for the Terriers as head coach. And, of course, four as a player from 1993 to 1996. And destination St. Louis. Meet the Terriers in St. Louis for this third straight trip to the Frozen Four, where they were back in 1975, the first year that St. Louis had, the first of two times that St. Louis hosted, where the Terriers played in the Frozen Four at the old building that the St. Louis Blues played in way back in the day, a half century ago. Looking for better results this time. Jay, what can you say? Holy Toledo, as the Terriers advanced from the Toledo Regional last weekend, and certainly wasn't easy. You don't expect anything to be easy this time of year. And if we step back and take a look at how the Terriers got there, unfortunately, for I guess one last time, for the benefit of the fans of Terrier Nation, to talk about how it did start against Ohio State. It certainly was not the start you or anybody wanted in the first period, where the Terriers were badly outplayed and outshot 15-2. That was all the bad news. But the good news was Big Mike had a little something to say about the fact that it was just a one-shot, 1-0 game.
Yeah.
We're on our heels and we couldn't really get the puck out of our end. And but our group, a lot of times, will find a way to respond, and they did within the game, which was important, because if we don't find a way to respond, we're not talking today.
No question. And you mentioned about the bean pot, and I did make that analogy. I mean, two heavyweight fights that might have been stopped if there were heavyweight fights in the first period. You're talking about BC, the bean pot, and then Ohio State. But unfortunately, it was hockey and not boxing. And Mark Linehan, my color analyst, my esteemed color analyst, he began his clairvoyance of seeing the future when he said, well, it's about time Yzerman gets a shot on net. And with what we've seen of Cole Yzerman this year, a lot of times it only takes one shot on net for him to be able to get that game even. And that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, once, off the face-off there, he, there was kind of a loose puck land behind our Benarek and Kaplan. And he got his shot off, and I think we've seen it. His release is tough to pick up, and next thing you know, it's in the back of the net. And you could feel it on our bench that I think that just got us to relax a little bit and understand that, all right, we're in this game, and, let's at least give ourselves a chance to start playing the kind of hockey we need to play to have success. So that certainly helped, and it's nice to have a guy like that he only needs one shot, and he showed it there.
And Quinn Hudson, more to come for him for the weekend, but again, you get the timely power play goal that was very important.
Yeah, know, that power play unit's been working pretty well together. A lot of different weapons, a lot of different options. You know, we were moving around pretty well there. And then, yeah, I think we've seen that shot a number of times from Quinn over the last three seasons where, you know, if he's between the circles, you know, and he sees a lane to the net, he can pick his spot than he did there.
Indeed. And as I mentioned to you, Jay, when we were out there, the Capone goal off the forecheck, puck in deep. I mean, just bottle that, take that clip, save it, show it. Great example with Harvey and Hughes getting in there, engaging the defense in behind the net, and being able to give Capone a great opportunity for him to deposit.
Yeah, that was a big difference in the rest of the game after the first period, where in the first period we didn't win any pucks like that. We never really had the puck because we didn't win any, and there's a great example of, you know, putting the puck in a spot where you have an opportunity to get it back, and then you have to go in there and win it, and we did that, and, you know, get it right to the front of the net, and Capone, you know, scored a nice goal, and, you know, I thought he had a really good weekend for us.
No doubt. And a big turning point was by, I don't know, somewhere between a tenth and three-tenths of a second, somewhere in that neighborhood, that play at the end of the second period where everybody was holding their breath.
Yeah, with the face-off. I think we won the draw. I think we probably should have just tried to eat the puck in the corner, and I think we threw it behind the net, but we missed it. Ends up going to them, and they just chuck it right to the front of the net. And, yeah, it was very close. And, you know, that's another lesson to learn. Like, you got to understand what kind of time's left on the clock. There's no need to make a play. If you just eat the puck in the corner, it's very unlikely they're going to be able to get it to the front of your net. And, you know, hopefully – we learned, you know, that lesson there because, you know, again, like, you go into the third down a goal and it's a different game.
No doubt. And, of course, as you mentioned, the third period, puck jumping in the net, five unanswered from the Terriers. But it's got to start with getting pucks to the net. You talk about playing that direct game. Case in point was Aiden Celebrini just simply getting a puck to the net there that happened to go in. You got to get started in that direction and have that mindset.
Yeah, there's times, depending, you know, a lot of times depending on the team you're playing against, what kind of systems they play. And, you know, we certainly weren't getting any pucks to the net in the first period. That was clear.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, you know, point of emphasis, second and third, let's start getting some pucks to the net and then recovering pucks and winning pucks from there. And, you know, that one was an opportunity for Aiden to get a puck to the net. I don't know if he thought he was scoring on that one or not.
Right.
But,
yep.
You know, ended up going in for us. And that can happen sometimes when you have that mindset.
And great to see Jack Harvey getting rewarded. He's had a lot of offensive opportunities, Jay. He made a great shot there, and, you know, hopefully that's going to carry over to St. Louis.
Yeah, he hadn't scored in a while. So, you know, I think that, you know, certainly boosted his confidence. I thought he was excellent in the Cornell game as well. I know he didn't score, but he was really good in the Cornell game. And, you know, sometimes for offensive players, you know, they need a goal. If they don't score for a while, you know, they're – you know, they maybe lose their confidence a little bit offensively, but I think that certainly brought it back. It was obviously a tremendous individual effort, and I think we've seen his ability to make plays like that in the past, and that was a big one.
And Jack Hughes with the shorthanded goal off of, we've talked a lot about it, you've talked a lot about it, the changes that were made, getting more aggressive on the PK, pace off there with the shorthanded goal. But just overall, it was great to see Jack Hughes recognized, acknowledged for his really stellar play in the regionals, being a member of the all-regional team.
Yeah, and very well deserved. He was one of our best forwards in the two games, and he's playing really well for us. I think he's obviously at a great time. He's playing his best hockey for us. He's contributing in a lot of different ways. Obviously, he's been very good on the penalty kill. He's provided some offense for us. He's been good on the forecheck. He's been good defensively. You know, he's been real good, and it's great to see. I mean, for him, he's a senior. This is his last crack at it. So, you know, he's obviously playing his best hockey. Had a great time.
And on to the regional final, and, you know, once again, an opponent, an unfamiliar opponent to an extremely familiar opponent in recent years with Big Red Hockey regionals. Their visit to memorable visit, one of the best games of the last 3 years overall, was the up and down game with Cornell. That Lane ended back two seasons ago. And there they are. They were the Big Red, bigger, older, stronger, heavy, experienced team. 16 players that were playing in their third straight regional final. Nine players that played 97 or more games of college hockey. You really knew what the challenge was. And just how gratifying for you, just to take a moment here to see the fact that your club came out and really played 60 and really, I think, knew there was a recognition you needed to play 60 against that team in order to be successful.
Yeah, I think the benefit of playing Cornell is we have played them, you know, the last couple of years, you know, basically the same team. They have the same team. We have a understanding of how Cornell is going to play. They don't really change the way they play.
Right.
They stick to their plan. They're not going to change it. I think, you know, we knew what to expect. I think as a group, we talked about, you know, the first period we had versus Ohio State, where we can't have those anymore. Like, we got away with that one. We're not getting away with it against Cornell. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It just, that would play right into their game. That's how they play. They want to, you know, they want to keep putting pucks behind you. They don't want to let you out of your end. And, it, you know, obviously Ohio State did that to us. We got away with it. We weren't going to get away with it again. And I think our guys understood that. So they obviously learned the lesson from that Ohio State game. And I thought we came out and played very well in the first. I thought we played a really good game overall. It's a great hockey game. They're a really good team. We knew they weren't going to quit. You know, we ended up getting the lead on the power play there in the third. And then we knew they were going to keep coming. I thought we played real well, actually, too. We didn't give up much. And then, but, you know, they ended up winning a puck on the wall and kind of chucked through it to the slot. And it was a bit of a loose puck. And they got first on it and just fired it to the net. And it went in. And the next thing you know, it's 2-2. And, you know, next, you know, for the rest of the way there, regulation and overtime, it's, you know, it's one shot, and we ended up on the right side of it.
Indeed, you did. So important you gave up the goal on the review. That was kind of a strange goal, kind of a quirky one on that ricochet, but Capone to get it right back. Successful early again, that PK, the aggressive PK, you went 2-for-2. And I guess it was a look upstairs to get the, was it on the 5 minute that, was that from the officials? You know, a lot of people were asking about that, or was that your review?
That was our review. Gavin McCarthy knew right away that the kid's glove got inside his face mask, and it's automatic in college hockey. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I love the rule, I'll be quite honest with you.
Right.
They need to revisit this rule. I don't think it's a great rule. I think it's a little different if you're grabbing the face mask,
right,
or you're ripping the guy down with the face mask, fine. But I just think the rule has to be revisited. We had at least three or four of those calls on us this year. And
yeah.
I think that's why Gavin knew right away. I think he had at least one.
He had one.
So
yeah,
he has experience with that call, and he knows. And he knew that's the rule. So, you know, so we decided to review it, and, you know, it ended up being a 5 minute because we ended up, of course, taking a penalty at the end of the period there. And, you know, so ended up playing 4-on-4 there. So we didn't really gain much momentum off that.
And Cole with the power play goal, it was documented later on, Jay, just to give us a little bit of perspective on that. I mean, you know, the ability, the Hudson family, I mean, skill, playing your edges, but also the ability to that in instinctive part of it, that innate part of it, he saw something on the PK that he clearly wanted to exploit there.
Yeah, well, we had the benefit of going into the third period on the power play, so you have the intermission to
right.
grab your power play unit and let's look at some video over the other power plays we already had in the game, and the other power plays we had didn't go great. Like, Cornell's, you know, really disciplined, has really good sticks, block shots. They don't give up much.
Right.
They don't give up much 5-on-5. They don't give up much on their penalty kill. So we took a look at it as a group and looked at some things that maybe we could expose. Cole saw something. If he walked down the wall and if he'd get behind the net, he knew he could throw it back up strong side to Green, because he tried it earlier in the game and it didn't work, but he knew where he had to put it this time, and he was going to come around, and you know, eventually we were going to get it back to him, and then from there he was going to have all options available from that point. And they kind of took the options. I think he was going to be looking for a way, and he saw a lane to the net, and he saw a little hole there that Shane was giving up, and you know, credit to him for the shot he made. Yeah, it started there. It started between periods of us getting together and taking a look at what we could expose.
Indeed, and that turned out to be a huge swing. And then once again, the overtime, you know, it gets overlooked sometimes. You know, you win the game in overtime as to what happened prior. But the first minute of the overtime, I don't think Big Mike, that might have been Big Mike's best minute since he got here. I was going to say from Omaha, since he got here from the Bahamas. That first minute of the overtime, Cornell had chances, and then you just completely took the momentum of the overtime away at that point.
Yeah, they had two chances in the first 45 seconds. They had a chance
right
from below the goal line. We lost coverage for a second. They threw it out front, I think a same-side pass. He made a terrific save. I think it was on Walsh. And then probably 20 seconds later, shot to the net. They get a rebound. Guy's walking in. Basically just hammers the puck off the rebound, and Big Mike makes a huge save. And from that point on, I don't think we gave up another shot. I thought we dominated the rest of overtime from that point on, the next 5 minutes until we scored. We had the puck most of the time. And, you know, credit for Big Mike for making those saves early when we needed them. And then, you know, I thought we took over the rest of overtime from there and ended up getting rewarded.
Indeed, you did. Complete opposite. You talked about the breakdowns that resulted in Cornell tying it with that loose puck. You know, it's like watching an accident on 128 there with everything that went wrong. But completely the opposite with everything that went right, from the faceoff to Shane covering the point to getting it deep to cycling it. I mean, you just checked all the boxes. It was an awful lot that went in. There was a lot of ingredients that went into making the cake there to be successful for Quinn to be able to get that puck to the net.
Yeah, and just going back to the goal we gave up to tie it, it was that line that was on the ice. It was
exactly
three veteran guys. It was Green, LeChance, and Quinn Hudson that, you know, just, you know, it happens, right? They made a bit of a mistake. They got kind of all got stuck on the wall, and none of them got it out. And next thing you know, it gets to the slot, and then, you know, they end up tying it. And knowing those three guys, they wanted to make amends, and they certainly did. And yeah, that whole sequence leading up to the goal, a lot of good things going on. With the puck movement, with winning pucks, with keeping plays alive to, you know, we talked about it, in overtime, there's never a bad shot. And, you know, Quinn saw an opportunity to just get it to the net. I mean, they've been out there for a little bit. Shane flash screened the goalie a little bit, and like the other Cornell player in front screened his goalie as well. It ended up just going through, I think, his legs, and the goalie never saw it. That's the end.
Indeed. And I got to give Mark Linehan credit again, Jay. He was looking into that crystal ball when he said, it's about time Quinn Hudson gets one. I just don't know why he can't take that to Saratoga with me this summer.
Yeah, he's I like that about Mark. I hope he continues to feel good things about us and when things are going to happen. So, he's pretty good with those things. He sees the game really well.
Absolutely. Now, from the familiarity of Cornell, you go back. That's what happens in these tournaments here. The fun part, complete unfamiliarity. BU and Penn State have never met. Penn State has been a Division I operation in the Big Ten for 12 seasons. They began the year 0-8-1. They came from back in the 40s in the pairwise, which is pretty much unheard of. Well-documented 14-4-1 in the calendar year, 10-2-1 since February. And what have you found out as you begin to break it down in the lab and get ready for them? You do have some common opponents now that you played Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Michigan. But comparisons that you're finding about this Penn State team to teams that you see on a regular basis in Hockey East?
Well, it was a good opportunity that they were playing on opposite days of when we played. So got the opportunity to watch them against Maine and UConn, and I thought they were really fast against Maine. I think they surprised Maine a little bit with their transition game, their rush game, their forechecking game. They're fast, and they play fast, and they attack. And, you know, they're going to be a tough matchup. Completely different way of playing than Cornell, that's for sure. It's a different type of game. So we got to make sure we're on top of our game, making sure we're defending well, making sure we're not giving them easy transition plays. And, yeah, they're feeling it too right now. They believe as a group, you know, they were basically at the first half, after the first half, they were – looked like they had no chance of you know, coming back and making the tournament. And credit to them with the way they played down the stretch in a tough league and a tough conference. So they're obviously believing in what they're doing and how they're playing. So it's like I said, we've never played them. So it's no question going to be a tough matchup, probably one of the hottest teams in the country. So you know, we're looking forward to it.
No doubt. And we got the Battle of Mother Russia in goal with Big Mike and Sergeyev. And there is a little bit of familiarity with Sergeyev. We had faced him with UConn.
Yeah, we've seen him before. You know, he's a very competitive goalie, very athletic. He's great size too. So he played very well against UConn. I thought that game was back and forth. I thought both teams had some momentum throughout those games where they were kind of taking over for a bit, and then it would go back and forth. And you know, both goalies played real well, and you know, Sergeyev played excellent there. UConn had some good looks in third period and in overtime, and I thought he played real well. I mean, that game again, it comes down to one shot; it could have went either way. So he's playing very well for them.
Speaks of the parity of college hockey, Jay. You can really throw the numbers out when you get into this single elimination tournament, where I think David Carl said they're all game sevens at this point. Penn State kind of reminds me, as I'm talking to a guy who spent a little bit of time in the NHL, they're almost like that 8 seed that had to play with urgency and desperation for months in order to just get to this position.
Yeah, there's no question, and that can help you this time of year, right? They've been battling every game. You know, was a very meaningful game for them to get just to get in the tournament.
Exactly.
And they survived and did that. So it's a credit to them. And you know, they're not going to be, I don't think, caught up in the moment. They've been through it for a long time. So we got to expect their best this time of year. I mean, it's tough to knock anyone out when it's playing for your lives here. And this is what it's all about.
Any St. Louis-related hockey stories for you from going back maybe to your playing days there? I guess we know Big Walt better have everybody over for dinner, right?
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be out there. It's a great sports town, I know that.
Yeah.
Great fans out there for all their sports, and I think they have an appreciation for hockey and the blue-collar nature of hockey. And that's, I think, the type of city it is. And, looking forward to it. I've been there a bunch of times. Great restaurants, great, really good people. So should be fun.
Indeed. Well, 6 Hockey East teams entered the NCAA tournament. The Terriers are the last men standing for carrying that banner for Hockey East and for Terrier Nation here as they head out a little bit more south on the banks of the Mississippi to St. Louis. Jay, I think you said it all a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to remind you of one of the statements that you made. I think it's, in a nutshell, it's all about finding a way to play the way we're capable of playing. I think that's just about it when you get to this time of year, if I could simplify the whole process.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. And like you said, it wasn't there in that first period of Ohio State, but no. From that point on, it's been there. And I thought we played real well against Cornell. I thought we played the game we needed to play against a very tough opponent, the hottest team in the country at that point, winning 8 in a row and, had to survive just to get in and win their tournament, and a veteran team. And, I thought that was, that's what I was really proud of our guys, who are a younger group. Obviously, we have some guys that have been in this position, and they certainly led the way for us. But for our young guys, to go up against that team with that experience and the way they play, and for us to come out on top, it's a credit to our guys.
You told me back, I don't know, about a month or so ago, you're a big fan of the show 60 Minutes. You got it against Cornell. You needed it, and you'll need it again here come Thursday against Penn State. So we look forward to St. Louis. By the rising of the moon, Jay, we look forward to St. Louis in this Frozen Four, and hopefully the Terriers have got a chance to win the next one and get to the next one and come back with 2 wins.
Yeah, that's hopefully what will happen, Bernie. And, we need you to continue to perform as well. So we'll see you in St. Louis, Bernie.
Okay. You know I'm there. Put me in, Coach. You know I'm there to answer the call. Okay. Thank you, as always, to Boston University head coach Jay Pandolfo for joining us here on Inside BU Hockey. Our time with Jay is sponsored by CNR Search. If you're a candidate or company searching executive search solutions, reach out to Bob Barish at cnrsearch.com. That's Bob Barish, B-A-R-I-C-H, at cnrsearch.com. Winners joining winners. CNR Search, proud sponsor of Boston University Hockey. It takes a crazy bagel lover to make the best and freshest bagels, and that's who you will find at Wicked Bagel. Wicked Bagel features only hand-rolled New York-style bagels crafted with precision and love to meet your high standards at their three locations: 171 Mass Ave, Lexington, 345 Washington Street, Woburn, and now open at 68 School Street, Watertown. Bake fresh, bake daily. Wicked Bagel. CNR Search is an executive search firm specializing within the life science and biotech industries. The CNR Search mission is to provide outstanding leadership solutions by identifying and evaluating the most qualified candidates for their client organizations. If you're a candidate or company seeking executive search solutions, reach out to Bob Barish at cnrsearch.com. That's Bob, B-A-R-I-C-H, at cnrsearch.com. CNR Search, winners joining winners. Proud sponsor of Boston University Hockey. At Anchor Home Medical and Supply, we understand that your health is your top priority, and it's ours, too. Whether you need medical equipment like hospital beds, lift chairs, or medication packaging, we're here to help make life easier for you or your loved ones. Our experienced staff provides sales, rentals, and servicing to ensure you get the right products for your needs. And because sickness doesn't take a holiday, we're always available. When you call Anchor, you'll speak to real people who care. Your health deserves attention, and we believe in going the extra mile to deliver the care you need. Anchor Home Medical Supply Pharmacy, give them a call at 978-720-8170 or to the web at anchorhomemedical.com. Welcome back, everyone, to this week's edition, our special Frozen Four edition of Inside BU Hockey. Inside BU Hockey, presented by Wicked Bagel, bake fresh, bake daily. Our Terrier profile this week is Boston University freshman left wing Cole Eiserman. Our time with Cole is sponsored by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers. Hurt, got to get Glassman. Cole, welcome to the show, and always a pleasure to have a chance. We talk hockey and some other subjects, so it's great to have you on the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Brent. Excited.
Well, it's certainly been a roller coaster year if you think about with the Terriers and what they've had to overcome. There was some struggles certainly during the regular season, and now 6-1-1 the last eight. As you look at it, Cole, and the ride that this team has been on now through Toledo to St. Louis, are there any things that you really kind of point to for this team to get on the trajectory that they're on right now? It really seem to be on the rise at the right time.
Yeah, I think ever since, you know, we got that beanpot win, I think that really gave us a really big, you know, confidence boost for our team. And, you know, I think Coach Pando and a lot of guys said it, when our backs are against the wall and it's crunch time, we seem to play really good hockey and we seem to understand what we need to do. And we've been fortunate enough to, you know, get some bounces and, mm-hmm. and have stuff go our way. But we've also, you know, worked really hard and done the right things when, you know, when we need to.
No doubt about that. And, of course, I got to ask, is anybody in Terrier Nation, what did you guys have against Friday night? Friday night just seemed to be, it was Freaky Friday or Friday Night Frights or something, but it was just amazing how you guys seemed to struggle on that night of the week. And fortunately, there's no more games that will be scheduled on a Friday from here on in.
Yeah, it was definitely a tough stretch of Fridays and Saturday mornings where we had team meetings and kind of just, you know, searching for answers, searching for, you know, what's going on. And it got to a point where, you know, Pando, instead of asking us to respond, he knew we were going to respond that Saturday night. And it was just, you know, and the scary part about that is, you know, as time goes on, you're not going to have another chance. But we kind of realize that now. But, you know, those Friday nights were tough. They've also, you know, made us so good on Saturdays and so good on times when we need to win. So it's taught us a lot.
Absolutely. Learning experience. And as they say, Cole, you know, experience is a hard teacher because that's how you grow from experience. It seems like there's been a lot of growth in this team over the course of the year.
Definitely. 100%.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. And coming to college hockey this season, of course, you originally were headed elsewhere. You were going to be going further west to Minnesota. And then had the opportunity to change your commitment and come to Boston University. You think back to that, and was it just you said, "Hey, I can't miss playing on the bean pot." Was that a big part of it, and being closer to home?
Yeah, it was honestly all just be closer to home for you know, my family and friends, and you know, just for my family to really see me play hockey. They haven't, you know, been able to watch me play in a long time, and they're able to come every night, and it's you know, something very special for me and my family now, and it's been an enjoy, it's enjoyment to see them enjoying it as well. So
mention about the travel and being away from home. It amazes me when I talk to guys, Cole, and obviously I've been doing this for a long time, the miles that you travel and the stops that you make. In your case, you went out there to the Shattuck program, which is really at the pinnacle of development. Just to give us some insight about what it was like to, you know, go out there at a relatively young age and relocate from Boston out there to Minnesota in the Midwest to be part of that.
Yeah, so yeah, definitely. You know, I was excited. I was a 13-year-old kid. Shattuck had us come in, I think, around August, 20th or 25th, and my birthday's the 29th, so I was, in the car with my dad, driving to Minnesota as a 13-year-old, and
wow.
when I was that age, you don't really think about it. You think you're mature, and you think you're ready for it, and you don't really realize how young you are. But looking back at it, it was, it'd be tough for me to send a 13-year-old, I think, away and live on his own. But I think that's, it's a lot of props to my family and my mom and dad for, getting me ready at that age and making me seem like I was ready to do that. It was awesome, though. I mean, it's something that I needed to do, I felt, for my development and to get me where I wanted to be. So I'm super grateful for, my family allowing me to do that and all the people who helped me, brand me in a way to be ready for that. So.
It really is a, I've never been out to the campus there, but it really is a unique place there with obviously the hockey tradition and the legacy. When you think of guys that have come through there like Crosby and Taves and so many others.
Yeah. When you hear all the names, it's hard not to go there. You're thinking, what they're putting in their water or what's going on there, but
right.
It's definitely an advertisement for sure.
Is there actually still a school there, or is it just a rink and a bus?
there's still a school that keeps us a little normal instead of a three rinks on campus. So
that's right. I said rink. I should have said plural. Sorry about that. Yeah.
No worries.
Don't have me report it to the headmaster at Shattuck. I don't want to get in trouble. So there you go.
Hey, no, definitely not for me.
Yeah. Well, we got another name there, and of course, Terrier fans were dreaming for a little while last year that, well, maybe Celebrini will want to play with Eisman. You had the opportunity to play with Macklin at a very young age there in the Shattuck program.
Yeah, me and Mac played 2 years together there. We were roommates. One of my best buddies, a guy I played a lot of hockey games with. You could play a lot of games when you're 14, 15. So, played a lot of games on his line, and some of the most fun days. It's just you're just enjoying hockey at that age, and he was such a good player at such a young age too. So it was pretty easy to really get along with him, and such a great kid as well. So it was a lot of fun we had in those 2 years.
Well, from Minnesota and then to Michigan and the national program, and distinguish yourself there with 127 goals, the all-time record. Cole Caulfield, who's starring in the NHL right now for the Montreal Canadiens, you broke his record there, and obviously got to play with a number of guys that have gone on and been very impactful in college hockey. What about the national program experience? Was that kind of lived up to what you expected, or was there a lot unexpected about being part of the program?
Yeah, I from a young age, my brother played there, so I always knew that was a goal of mine to play there, play for Team USA, play for the national team. And once I made it, I knew I was going to want to go over there. It was a no-brainer for me. And then I got there, and you hear stories. It's just you got to be ready to work when you get there. You got to be ready to be a hockey player. And I was super excited because you see the guys who come out of there, and you see how good they get.
Mm-hmm.
So you really got to put as much work as you can in every single day. You got to trust the process, and I really think that place it's great. I mean, there's not many places where you get, 23, 24 of the best players in the country who just want to be the best. You don't get that many places where, the practices and the workouts are so competitive. And it was such a fun place to play. I met a lot of really good friends that I'll be friends with for the rest of my life. And definitely, I felt my game changed a lot there just from playing with so many guys that have so many different skill sets. And it was a lot of enjoyment, so...
And really, I would suspect has ratcheted up the rivalry when you consider how many guys from the program that you competed against from Boston College this year.
Yeah, I know. It was tough, especially with World Juniors.
Yes.
I won. You know, we didn't play BC till the second half, so I won a gold medal, something very special to do with, you know, I think six of those guys or whatever it was, and mm-hmm. and that's a hard thing to do is when you go through so much, you know, when you go through a lot in a short period of time in a tournament, and you know, you really come close together because you got to win gold medals. It was very special time, and then to be able to, you know, flip the switch and have those guys be your enemy was a pretty funny thing to kind of have to do.
Yeah, absolutely, and of course you'll be able to bring up. They may not bring it up, but you'll be able to bring up the bean pot now for the rest of your lives in hockey and beyond.
Yeah. That was a fun game as well, sir.
Indeed, the case there, and getting to represent your country, you've certainly excelled with that call. You've been a flair for the dramatic, and certainly been exceptional in your offense. I think you've kind of taken it to another level when you've had the chance to be wearing that red, white, and blue. Outstanding.
Yeah, it's a special thing to be able to put that jersey on, no matter, you know, what tournament it is, who you're playing against, and you really want to, you know, have that pride and you know, put it to good use, because you know there's so much to winning in a USA sweater. It brings a whole nation together. It brings you know, kids in the country to, you know, want to play hockey and stuff like that. And you know, as you get older, you kind of think of those more stuff and want to play well, and definitely helped me be able to excel in some areas in the international tournaments.
I don't think that you can look at your family tree and say that you came. I don't think anybody could come from any more of a hockey family. Your dad, I can remember your dad at UMass Lowell. You mentioned about your brother Shane. I remember him at UNH. I just saw Dick Umili recently and was mentioning about your family and having Coach Shane, and Billy was at Lowell and Bell and at Bentley. And Chris, yep, at Fredonia State. I mean, and you also have a twin brother. So, I mean, what was it like? And you, I believe, you and your twin brother are the youngest of the whole crew, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, my older brothers, they're you know, pretty they're a good amount older than me. So, when I was growing up, they were more junior hockey already. So, I was you know, I thought they were, you know, the greatest, right? They're playing juniors and, you know, they're about to play college hockey, and they're doing all the stuff that when I was that age, that was very cool to me. They're playing the USHL, and it was so nice to be able to kind of watch hockey games growing up. I was at a rink mm-hmm. every day. I kind of understood, you know, what was going on from, you know, a very young age, and how to kind of make it, and what's in, you know, the college hockey and all that stuff. So it's helped me a lot. I think I've been able to mature quicker just from, you know, them and them teaching me and just kind of just listening. I was a listener growing up. I would be, you know, 9 years old, they're however old they were, probably, you know, around 20, and I just listen in their conversations and just kind of see what is, you know, what a, you know, college hockey guy was like and stuff like that. And it's pretty funny to kind of be best friends with them now and be able to kind of have those conversations that they used to have with, you know, me now. So
that's right. You're more of an equal now. Then you were just the sponge that was soaking it all up, and
yep,
and being able. And you really had, when I think of younger brothers in hockey families, you really had the best of both worlds, because they were so much older that you weren't the goalie. They didn't put the target and say, put the little kid in goal and be taking shots. I mean, you were young enough then, it would have been child abuse to be taking shots on you.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely was not able to play with those guys.
No, exactly. Yeah, you see, you really had. You had a big advantage there. And as far as your game this year, I got to tell you, if I haven't told you before, off being recorded here, but just been, it's been great to watch you. And I'm not just talking, we'll talk about that in a minute, because I got to finally try to get an answer to a question you probably know I'm going to ask. But how hard you've competed, how hard you've defended, how hard you've made the effort to work in all three zones. I think it's been it's been really it's been terrific to watch all season.
Thank you. Yeah, that means a lot. Yeah, I just want to, you know, work as hard as I can every single day in practice and games, just for my teammates, just to, you know, for, you know, just to be, you know, I have so much pride in being a Terrier. I love being a Terrier. I want to win so many games just, you know, with the jersey on, and I'll do anything I can, you know, possibly to do to kind of make sure that happens in college hockey. There's so much pride in winning, and you kind of got to work hard every single shift to be able to do that. And it's also fun to work hard. I want to be a hockey player. It's just all I kind of want to do. And so I'm putting all the work I can do into every game and every shift. So.
Mm-hmm. And any insight, you had me have to reach way down here in my career to come up with a new term, the no-timer, because after I watched you shoot the puck a couple of times, I mean, I'd seen you before, but then when I had a chance to see it live in college games, I said, well, I got to come up with a new term here. As far as the development of the shot, is there any insight that you can give us? Were you just somebody, did you have the board set up or the net set up in the yard where, you know, it's 90 degrees in August and you're out there and you got 100 pucks teed up? Or, you know, what happened to get to the point where you can actually shoot a puck the way that you're capable of shooting a puck? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, some of it's a gift. I think God as another saying that too is I'm pretty gifted in being able to shoot a puck. But it's also, you know, I never had like a very nice shooting setup growing up. I never had, you know, the tiles or whatever.
Okay.
It was a pretty, you know, blue collar, you know, got a, you know, little shooting pad, got the net, you know, maybe honestly 6 to 12 pucks, and it's, you know, shooting as many times as you can, and then you're going and picking them up, and you're doing that over and over and over and over and over and over and over until, you know, it's fun though. It's fun to, you know, be outside and shoot pucks, and but you're doing it consistently, and then once you're on the ice and you have that, say, you know, that hour, you know, when you're 12 years old or 13, 14, however old you are, and you have that hour in the summer where you're, you know, just doing skills, and say everyone gets off, you can stay on until the, you know, the Zamboni comes on and just shoot pucks, right? And
right.
Stuff like that, which I love to do. I just love staying out after and shooting pucks, and in the gym, like working on my forearms or my, you know, the biceps for whatever reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
Either for the beach or
for the beach.
Pucks.
Yep. That's for Hampton. Yep.
Yeah, for Hampton Beach. But stuff like that, I think I put a lot of my time into, you know, shooting pucks and doing that stuff. So it's all time and work and, you know, maybe a little bit of God gifted ability, but and also just watching, right? You're watching all the best shooters, seeing what they do, studying them. You don't, shooting coaches help for some guys. For me, I never needed one.
Mm-hmm.
I always loved watching, kind of going outside, you know, putting the phone down, seeing what they did and trying to do it. So,
well, you've certainly, that's been a skill that you've cultivated. As you mentioned, part of it's God-given and the rest of it's man-made with sweat equity and hard work. Is there anybody in particular that you've followed really closely and been able to emulate, or you've really, I mean, obviously there's a lot of guys in the NHL I'm sure that you follow, but anybody in particular, if you had to put one at the top of the list maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, weirdly enough, I loved Crosby growing up.
Okay.
I played nothing really like him. I think the one of the things I took from was just work, you know, his work ethic. And then, you know, I just love watching all the goal scorers, all the guys who love to score goals and kind of picking apart. You know, you got Ovechkin, you got, you know, Matthews, and you get some, like, sneaky guys like Olofsson or help Elias Pettersson shoot the puck, and you kind of take stuff from different guys that you enjoy watching, and it helps kind of brand you as a player. I think it really helps kind of taking stuff from a lot of different guys and trying to make your own game, trying to make yourself.
Sure.
I think that's very important as well.
Absolutely. As they say, you got to be the best Cole Eisenman you can be. Nobody else can,
mm-hmm.
You know, no
doubt.
And as far as the regional here at, Mark Linehan was my color analyst. He was just looking into the crystal ball all weekend. And of course you had the Terriers struggles in the first period against Ohio State were well documented. And he said something early in the second period. He said, we just got to get Cole Eisenman a shot on goal. And, well, that's, you know, you got a shot on goal and it went in. So that was a pretty important goal. You got one later, but that first one was huge.
Yeah, no, definitely. No, it was a tough game at the start. We didn't really have it. They were playing really well. And, you know, it was one of those things where you just got to start getting more shots on net. And Betsy, you know, won a really good draw. And I just kind of just ripped it at the net. And sometimes they go posting out and sometimes they go posting in, and we were very, you know, lucky enough and fortunate for that one to go in to give us a 1-1 game and give us some life, you know, giving us some momentum for the rest of the game.
Absolutely. And followed up with, I think it was absolutely imperative to play your best 60 and maybe your best complete 60 of the year as a team to get by Cornell for the second time in 3 years. And now it's on to the Frozen Four, and the biggest stage in college hockey will be Destination St. Louis. You've been getting ready this week for the challenge of Penn State on Thursday. What can you tell us there as you've been preparing and scouting and getting ready? And do you have any connections to anybody on Penn State going back in your hockey career?
Yeah, for connections, I was at the program with Charlie Serrato. Really good player.
Oh, yeah.
He's had an unbelievable year, so it's really good to see him that. But, I mean, this last week's been so fun. I mean, when there's four teams left in the country playing hockey, you're very fortunate, and it's just such an exciting time. Like, no matter where you go to the rink, you're just knowing this is extra hockey that you're getting from working hard, so we're all enjoying it, and we're going to, you know, have so much excitement, you know, once we get to St. Louis and once we step on the ice Thursday, so.
Absolutely, looking forward to that. And congratulations, Selection Hockey East All Rookie Team. And more to come. More to come this week, as you mentioned, in St. Louis by the banks of the Mississippi. And by the rising of the moon, let's hope we're playing Saturday for a championship, Cole. All the best.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you to Boston University freshman left wing Cole Eisenman for joining us in our Terrier Profile. Terrier Profile is sponsored by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers. Hurt, got to get Glassman. Give them a call at 617-777-7777. Their team is committed to you and the Terriers. It takes a crazy bagel lover to make the best and freshest bagels, and that's who you will find at Wicked Bagel. Wicked Bagel features only hand-rolled New York-style bagels crafted with precision and love to meet your high standards at their three locations. 171 Mass Ave, Lexington, 345 Washington Street, Woburn, and now open at 68 School Street, Watertown. Bake fresh, bake daily. Wicked Bagel.
This is Jeffrey Glassman. For four generations, my family has called New England home. My grandfather taught me to always care for people and fight for what's right. At Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, that's exactly what we do. When you're hurt in a car crash, we fight big insurance companies to make sure you get the money you deserve. We care. We fight to win. And we don't get paid unless you do. Hurt? You gotta get Glassman. Call 617-777-7777.
Welcome back, everyone, to this week's edition, our special Frozen Four edition of Inside BU Hockey. Inside BU Hockey, presented by Wicked Bagel. Bake fresh, bake daily at the locations in Lexington, Woburn, and Watertown. Our alumni segment this week with former Terrier Keith Kachuk is sponsored by Anchor Home Medical and Pharmacy. Experience the Anchor difference. And if we're going to have a proud former Boston University hockey player on, and we're going to St. Louis, well, I guess maybe I had two choices, Keith Kachuk or Scott Young. They were both with me for Game 4 of the 2004 World Series, by the way. But no other way to go. A guy that's settled out there, made his home, raised his children, whatever became of them, we'll talk about that in a minute, in the St. Louis area, and still working for the St. Louis Blues organization. We spent 10 years as a player, Keith Kachuk. Keith, welcome to the show, and always a pleasure to have an opportunity to talk to you.
I appreciate it, Bernie. It's always always fun talking and catching up old BU times, for sure.
Indeed, and of course, for those that remember, the memory's got to be a little bit longer. The year that you spent at Boston University, of course, concluded at a Frozen Four. It was, just up the river from where we're going to be this week. That was in St. Paul, Minnesota, and one of the epic championship games of all time. Unfortunately, did not come out in favor of the Terriers, the triple overtime marathon against Northern Michigan. But I'm sure that it struck a nerve with you, Keith, that the Terriers are in the Frozen Four for the third consecutive year. And also the fact that, well, they're coming to your home away from home, your adopted hometown of St. Louis.
Yeah, well, you know what, Bernie? First of all, we're excited to have the Frozen Four. I think it's great. Everything St. Louis does, whether it's hockey, basketball, or any golf or any event, always comes out and they get the support that it needs. And then to top it off, to have my old team come out here and have a chance to win a national championship at Boston University, it makes it even more sweeter. So we're excited. I'm excited. I can't wait for next Thursday, for sure.
Absolutely. Everybody in Terrier Nation looking forward to the Terriers facing off with Penn State. You mentioned about St. Louis And St. Louis, as a host venue for major sporting events, of which there have been many, just to give us some insight about the background, if you will, about St. Louis bidding and having the opportunity to get this Frozen Four. And some people maybe, you know, maybe scratching their head the fact that Vermont is the host for the event in St. Louis, but obviously very strong connection there with Chris Zimmerman of the Blues, who's a former Vermont Catamount.
Yeah, I mean, Chris has been exceptional. He's the president of our organization. He's obviously a big hockey guy and a sports fan in general. And it just goes with everything we've done in St. Louis. And I forgot to mention, we've hosted Final Fours for basketball. And obviously, you know, with the Cardinals and everything. And it's just, it's going to be fantastic. We've been trying for years to get different events there in hockey. Hockey's booming right now in St. Louis. We won the Stanley Cup in 2019. We're back in the playoffs this year in the race, so it's going to be exciting. It's a big sports town. It's going to be fun. They love their sports no matter what it is, but hockey's booming right now, and it's going to be great having these, you know, college teams fighting for a national championship and obviously hosting the Hobie Baker Award winner on Friday as well. So we're excited. I'm excited. I cannot wait for this. And just need BU to come through for us, and it's been amazing to see what the boys have been through this year, and to find a way to get here is just a result of great leadership under Jay Pandolfo.
Absolutely, Jay, that you're familiar with, obviously, from the National Hockey League. Jay's long career, your even longer career. You spent 2000 through 2007 with the Blues. You came back 2008, finished your career in 2010. I'm sure that it really must have struck a nerve. I mean, you made a few stops around the NHL in your career, but that's where you really found a home and made it your home to raise your family.
Yeah, it is. It's a great place to raise a family. You can get around very easy there. That's where the kids grew up. That's where they went to school, and that's where they met all their friends and all played all their sports, not just hockey. So it's a great place to live. I'm so fortunate to be able to live there. And, you know, we spend time between there and Florida now that kids are all growing up, but I love going back there. It's a great sports town. It's just so much history with the Blues and the Cardinals, and obviously when the Rams were here. And it's a very easy living out there.
Indeed, you've embraced that. You mentioned, of course, you know, most people, if you follow hockey, you know who your sons are, with Matthew and Brady, as I call you. People still call you Big Walt. I call you Archie because You are the Archie of hockey. You know, there's an Archie in football named Manning, and there's an Archie in hockey. His name's Tkachuk. So I'll stand by that. But truth be told, Keith, the development of hockey in St. Louis, the phenomenon of the Blues planting the flag out there, and what has happened and transformed in terms of homegrown talent. I mean, it doesn't stop with your kids. I mean, Clayton Keller, Scott Mayfield, Trent Frederick, Joe Wall. I mean, just a number of guys that have now come through St. Louis, and guys that you had a prominent role in the early development and training of.
Well, we're very lucky. We got a strong alumni, and you got to say that. In fact, I was at an event last night for Kelly Chase, who's going through a rough time, and it's just amazing to see how much alumni we have and how many guys have stuck around and really built the program before even myself, I got there. You know, you got guys like Al MacInnis, Jeff Brown, Basil McRae, Rob Ramage, and there are so many people. And now you get the next generation. So you spend a lot of time at the rink coaching these kids, developing them. And I'm very fortunate to be able to help out with Matthew and Brady's team. And not just Matthew and Brady. There are so many. You got, like, Luke Cunningham was a first-rounder as well.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
So many kids that have actually gotten a chance. You know, when you're coaching these kids, you're not thinking the National Hockey League. You're thinking to keep moving them forward. And we had kids from Matthew's team that have gone on, like a dozen of them have gone on to play college hockey or junior hockey, and very fortunate for some of them to get the chance to play in the National Hockey League. But that has a lot to do with the kids, first of all, to put the hard work in. But a lot of the former Blues, you know, I have put a lot of time in, even before I stepped on the ice to coach. So credit goes to those guys. And a lot of guys have retired there and lived there and raised their families just like I did. It's a wonderful place. It's so much fun to see it. A lot has to do with the Blues, St. Louis Blues being successful ever since the Brett Hull years and moving forward to the, you know, the 2000s and obviously where we are right now. There's a lot of buzz right now, have a chance to play hockey, especially college hockey.
No doubt. And I remember we were sitting in the hotel in Ann Arbor, I think it was 2016, and you were talking about Matthew and Brady on the way up. And, you know, as always, you're a man of your word. You said very matter-of-factly, Bernie, you're going to get Brady. Matthew's going to play major. Well, you got example of each of them, I guess, took the right route for the success that they're having right now. And very happy that we had Brady at Boston University for the year that we had with David Quinn, where we almost advanced to the Frozen Four that year.
Yeah, that was great. That was a great year of development for Brady. They had a good team. They, if you remember correctly, they scratched and clawed just to get in the tournament. They had to win the Hockey East. And
that's right.
What a run that was. And it was so much fun. It was hard fought. And, you know, that was important for Brady. Brady was, you know, a big kid, but still very slight and underdeveloped. And getting a chance to play with guys like Jordan Greenway. And it was awesome. They had a great team with Dante Favreau. And it was a lot of fun. Came up short, but he got a lot out of it. So it was a year that I loved getting a chance, and I felt like my parents when I was there,
getting
a chance to see their son play. And that was a thrill. I didn't get to every game, but I got to a lot of the games and see the transformation he made from just that 1 year to get to where he, you know, to sign a contract and play in the National Hockey League. If it wasn't for BU, you know, it probably doesn't happen.
And similar to this year's team in terms of the run that they're on currently to get to St. Louis in terms of that 2018 team that gained some great momentum down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody thought, you know, losing a great player like Celebrini and Hudson, that it might have been taking a step back. But when you have a guy like Jay Pandolfo and his staff, and then you get, you know, these other guys like Green and Lachance and the other Hudson and different guys. I mean, it's a program that, you know, you got to give AD Drew a lot of credit to the resources they have, and they put everything into it. And it's a program where, you know, it's almost like the New York Yankees of college hockey. I mean, this is, it's hockey, and you got to go out and perform, and you get all the resources, no excuses. And I love the fact that these guys have battled hard. They scratched and clawed big time to get where, you know, to give themselves a chance to win a national championship. So credit to the players and the coaches and the whole university for supporting them.
You mentioned about the Hudsons and you being in the Midwest and not too far from their roots in Chicago. I suspect you did know about these guys, and I think you did play a part with them in their development going way back with the Hudson family.
Well, I don't know them too well, but I've watched them play, and obviously they've done a great job. And, you know, when I was growing up, Bernie, you know how it was. It's Massachusetts, Minnesota, and Michigan. That's where the hockey players are.
That was it.
Nowadays, when you get a chance, and that tells you how well-respected Boston University is. You're getting kids like Celebrini from the far west out in, you know, San Jose or Vancouver, where he's from, the Hudsons from Chicago. You're dabbing in kids from areas that you never thought you'd get. So that's important. You know, and these kids realize the program, what it's all about. So it's nice to see kids from the Midwest and all over the country now that are playing hockey. That never happened, you know, when I was a kid. And when I was a kid, if I knew I was playing against kids from St. Louis or Chicago, you know, I thought it would have been an easy night. Not anymore. Hockey has grown, and that's great for these kids. It's great for college hockey. It's great for the NHL, and it's great for USA Hockey.
Got to ask you about the Four Nations and, well, the beginning. I was in the process of broadcasting a BU game or trying to, and then my phone just blew up, and I think you know why, when they dropped the puck in the U.S.-Canada game. Could you please tell, Keith, you always tell me the truth. Were you on that text chain? Did you know, was it premeditated? Did you know what was going to happen?
No, I had no idea what was going on. But you know what? The hockey in me, when you're watching the kids, everybody's standing up. I mean, I don't know what the Montreal rate holds, but it's like over 20,000.
Oh, yeah.
They're all standing up, and I'm right next to my wife and my daughter, and my heart's racing, and I can see what's going on. I can visually see it. I look at my wife, I go, and she's oblivious to everything when it comes to hockey. And I'm like, honey, this is happening. But it's happening. I said, Matthew's going to fight right now. Because I could tell the way he was talking to the player that I'm from Canada. Mm-hmm. And I could just see it happening. And all of a sudden it happens. The place goes absolutely crazy. And then when that's over, my heart is racing. Her heart's racing because you don't want to see anybody get hurt, especially your own kid. And I said, Chantal, it's not done yet. I go the other way.
tremendous.
And being in the stands and seeing how fast it was and how physical it was, there was no room out there. Even 90, you know, some of the best players in the world didn't have a lot of room to skate. So hats off to the NHL and the NHLPA for putting on a great event. And you know, I know it didn't go our way, Bernie, but when they're talking about it on channels besides hockey, that's a big win for the game of hockey.
No doubt, hockey really won. And looking ahead to the Olympics and the impact that we're certainly expecting your boys to have. But just overall, I mean, the pride for everybody in Terrier Nation. I mean, there was the photo that got out with the coaches. you had Mike Sullivan, you had David Quinn, you had John Hines, you had Chris Kelleher and Chris Drury, co-captains of the 98 team and personnel and assistant general manager. And then to have the players, I mean, to have Ottinger and Charlie McAvoy with your boys out there. I mean, what a great testament to the program, as you said, which is just obviously, as Coach Barker would say, one of the brand name programs of college hockey.
Yeah, it was great. It just shows you not just the development of players, but coaches too as well, and that's huge. It was great success in terms of, you know, the guys who play college, especially BU, and you can't forget Jack Eichel. I'm going to tell you right now.
Oh, I forgot. I forgot Eichel.
Jack Eichel is good, but seeing him that closely on an everyday, you know, stage like that, it's amazing what a great player this young man is. He's big, he's strong, he can skate, and it just looks effortless out there for him. And it was fun to watch him. Because, you know, sometimes when you're on the East Coast or Midwest in those late games, you don't really catch them all the time. But I'll tell you, I was pretty impressed. And I thought he was one of the best players in the tournament in Jack Eichel. And losing Charlie McAvoy was such a huge loss. Because he was containing the big boys of Team Canada in that one game. So, but it was, all in all, I think it was great for the game. And it was fun seeing, you know, the people that we knew, you know, from Boston University, you know, have success there.
Absolutely. And Jack Eichel on the cusp of a 100-point season right now. He's been just a force, as impactful as anybody in the NHL this year, Keith, for Vegas.
Absolutely.
No doubt. I got to ask, you said with your daughter, you know, Lou Amonte always used to tell me, hey, Bernie, you know, it's not even close. Kelly's the best athlete in the family, but nobody knows it. your daughter's a pretty good field hockey player at Virginia with the Cavaliers, and I know that she's had a great career there.
You know, it was fun. I can't believe she's a senior. That 4 years went by so fast. I'm so happy that she picked Virginia. We had a blast. Great parents, great field hockey. They met to the Final Four once. They made the tournament all 4 years. Mm-hmm. Came up short this past season, but it was a heck of a run, and I'm so thankful that she chose there because we had some great parents on that team, and it's a great, great school, great campus. But she did really well, and now now she's going to have to enter the real world. So look out. She's going to be, you know, she might still be on the old Kachuk family gift card, but she's going to the real world now.
She might still be on full scholarship, but you don't know it yet, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. You mentioned she was right in the stands with you and Chantel. She didn't, like, find any, like, you know, Canadian field hockey player that she could have squared off with. I mean, come on. She should have just joined in. Could have had a hat trick. You could have had three Kachuks.
I think she might be crazier than Brady, so you never know with her. But we had a good time in the stands. She had a blast. And we still forget that mom is from Canada.
Oh, that's right.
She's a full-blooded
Winnipeg.
Winnipeg. So
that's right.
Got a few laughs, but nothing comes before her family. So she loves the kids and she loves watching them. Not just the boys, but my daughter too. So it's been a great run right now, and I'm so happy that my kids wanted to be active in sport. It's so much fun to be doing this.
Absolutely. And Keith, as we look ahead to Thursday, the national semifinal, BU and Penn State will meet for the first time ever, and then hopefully the Terriers with a chance to win a championship. Can't help but think back to 2004. We spent some quality time, and Scott Young also, during the, it was the end of the 86-year curse, and we were all there as witnesses to it and had a lot of fun in celebrating with the Red Sox in that World Series. Won't ever forget that.
Yeah, that was a blast, Bruno. We had a good time there. That was a lot of fun. That was in the old Busch Stadium, man. That's unbelievable.
Right.
I couldn't believe how many Red Sox fans were out there, but that was a blast. I'm glad I could have shared it with you and Scotty.
Yep, absolutely. Good time there, and hopefully good times to come in St. Louis. And finally, I'd be remiss. I get obsessed with some of these things. I'm like a dog with a bone sometimes. I just can't help but think, I mean, five American-born players with 500 goals, six with 1,000 points, the over 1,200 games. I mean, you know, Toronto's got to be calling soon, don't you think? I mean, you're going to be picking up that phone at some point, hopefully sooner than later.
You know, that's out of my control, Bernie. My kids are my Hall of Fame. If that happens, great. If not, my life goes on.
Well said. Well, I'll tell you, it seems like just yesterday I was at the UMass Boston rink for Boston Cable, and my color analyst was David Quinn, and there was this big kid playing from Alden Catholic that was coming to BU that we were all excited about. It just seems like yesterday, but it wasn't yesterday.
No, it wasn't. I loved my 1 year there. It was so much fun. Every time I go to Gainesville, I look up where the banner should have been. You know, we lost a tough one that year. That's one thing, you know, you wish you had back. But we had a great run with Tony and Sean McGeckren and Greg LeChance and all the boys. It was a fun time there. So I miss it.
Indeed. Well, we're hoping that the Terriers will be potentially toasting a national championship by the banks of the Mississippi and in your adopted home. We look forward to that coming up this week, Keith. And thanks very much for joining us here on Inside BU Hockey. Appreciate it.
Anytime, Bernie. Thanks a lot. Go Terriers, buddy.
Thank you to Keith Tkachuk, Special Assistant to the General Manager and Director of Recruitment for the St. Louis Blues, for joining us in our alumni segment this week on Inside BU Hockey. Our time with Keith, sponsored by Anchor Home Medical and Pharmacy. Check them out at their new location in Beverly at the Cummings Center. Experience the Anchor difference, proudly serving all of your home medical and pharmacy needs. Go to anchorhomemedical.com. It takes a crazy bagel lover to make the best and freshest bagels, and that's who you will find at Wicked Bagel. Wicked Bagel features only hand-rolled New York-style bagels crafted with precision and love to meet your high standards at their three locations: 171 Mass Ave, Lexington, 345 Washington Street, Woburn, and now open at 68 School Street, Watertown. Bake fresh, bake daily. Wicked Bagel. CNR Search is an executive search firm specializing within the life science and biotech industries. The CNR Search mission is to provide outstanding leadership solutions by identifying and evaluating the most qualified candidates for their client organizations. If you're a candidate or company seeking executive search solutions, reach out to Bob Barish at cnrsearch.com. That's Bob, B-A-R-I-C-H, at cnrsearch.com. CNR Search, winners joining winners. Proud sponsor of Boston University Hockey. At Anchor Home Medical and Supply, we understand that your health is your top priority, and it's ours too. Whether you need medical equipment like hospital beds, lift chairs, or medication packaging, we're here to help make life easier for you or your loved ones. Our experienced staff provides sales, rentals, and servicing to ensure you get the right products for your needs. And because sickness doesn't take a holiday, we're always available. When you call Anchor, you'll speak to real people who care. Your health deserves attention, and we believe in going the extra mile to deliver the care you need. Anchor Home Medical Supply Pharmacy, give them a call at 978-720-8170 or to the web at anchorhomemedical.com. Our gem of the week this week, sponsored by DePrisco Jewelers, is Boston University freshman defenseman Cole Hudson. The native of Chicago, Illinois, has racked up the accolades in recent weeks. The Hockey East Rookie of the Year and first-team All-Star, Hudson was also selected as the recipient of the George Karens Award for New England Rookie of the Year and the New England All-Star Team. In addition, Cole has kept the Bob Monahan Award for New England's top defenseman on the Hudson family mantle, following his brother, two-time winner Lane. The most outstanding player of the Toledo Regional, Hudson's 2 goals and 4 assists, 6-point stat line currently leads all scorers in the tournament, while his season totals of 32 assists and 46 points lead all freshmen nationally. Good luck to Cole and the Terriers as they head west to St. Louis and the Frozen Four. DePrisco Jewelers, diamond jewelers since 1948. With a hat trick of experience, no high prices, and only top quality certified non-conflict diamonds. Give him a call at 617-227-3339 or make an appointment online at boston.deprisco.com. DeProsco Jewelers, located at 333 Washington Street at Downtown Crossing. Our BU and the Pro segment this week, sponsored by Eastern Clothing of Watertown, features Minnesota Wild head coach John Hines. A Terrier player for Jack Parker from 1994 to 1997, the native of Warwick, Rhode Island, is primed to take a third NHL club to the postseason. The Wild's playoff chances with five games remaining improved to 94% following a dramatic overtime victory over the Dallas Stars Saturday night. A member of the U.S. Four Nations coaching staff back in February, John has enjoyed working with former BU teammate Chris Kelleher, the Wild's assistant general manager. Best of luck to Hinesy and the Wild from Terrier Nation in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Eastern Clothing of Watertown, for 87 years, setting the standard with quality value and service to its customers. Visit easternclothing.com and set up an appointment, or check them out on Facebook and Instagram. Eastern Clothing of Watertown, a premium experience without the elevated price tag. It takes a crazy bagel lover to make the best and freshest bagels, and that's who you will find at Wicked Bagel. Wicked Bagel features only hand-rolled New York-style bagels crafted with precision and love to meet your high standards at their three locations: 171 Mass Ave, Lexington, 345 Washington Street, Woburn, and now open at 68 School Street, Watertown. Bake fresh, bake daily. Wicked Bagel.
This is Jeffrey Glassman. For four generations, my family has called New England home. My grandfather taught me to always care for people and fight for what's right. At Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, that's exactly what we do. When you're hurt in a car crash, we fight big insurance companies to make sure you get the money you deserve. We care, we fight to win, and we don't get paid unless you do. Hurt? You gotta get Glassman. Call 617-777-7777.